It's the Film Pigs, the number one podcast in the land. I don't look at other podcasts. I heard there are a couple others, but I know we're number one. I just know that. I feel
it. We got to be one of the first few.
Well, listen, I don't bow to anyone telling me, certainly not to wear a mask, but then also, like, is our podcast listened to at all? I don't, or is it wildly popular, or do maybe five people listen? You know, you can't
I just assume it's wildly popular.
This country is, the Constitution still stands as far as I know, so I'm not going to have anyone tell me. My name is Stephen Falk. I am my own man, and also his own man is Stephen J. Skelton.
Hello, hello. I am America.
And also America is Todd Robert Anderson.
I'm even more America than Steve Skelton. I'm probably the most America.
You probably are the most America. I would say so. Well, you know, we're gonna jump right in, guys. It's a summer starting. It's a summer of fun.
What? It is.
It's a summer of fun, you guys. You didn't get the memo?
No. What are you
doing? Yeah.
What are we doing?
Let's see. I cleaned five toilets today.
Oh, that's fun.
I did that too, but I only have two because I'm poor.
I did some Legos. I built a Lego Anna and Elsa castle.
Oh, that's nice.
My toddler kept trying to eat Olaf's head. And what else? That's it. And then I watched Friday Night Lights. What did you guys do today?
I was self-taping an audition, which took up most of my day.
Oh.
Because it was a lot of material. And then I have to shoot it, and then I have to put it into my computer and cut it and turn the file into something else so it's a small enough size. It takes a long time to make a self-tape audition, probably longer than it would for me to drive somewhere, audition, and then drive back.
Did someone read it with you?
Yes. The one good thing about quarantine is, unlike in the past when I had to self-tape where I would just be talking to myself and pretending to listen to other dialogue, I have my wife and my son. My wife did this one because this one involved a threesome and weird stuff. So I thought that would be gross with my son.
Yeah, threesomes with your son is probably, that's probably gross.
Yeah, that's extremely gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yesterday I did a self-tape for a kid's show, and I got to do that one with my son. So everybody's getting to be, my whole family's a session runner at this point.
Good for them. What about you, Skelton? What did you do today?
Oh, I had a really exciting day. I washed dishes and cleaned my humidifier.
Oh, wow.
What was the grossest thing you found in there?
In the humidifier?
Yeah.
Actually, it wasn't very gross at all. It's a new humidifier.
I've
only been using it a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, on that disappointing note,
get back to me next year, and it'll be disgusting.
Okay, I will. I mean, we won't be around, but okay. I mean, the world, not us. Film Pigs will last. It's time for movie news, you guys.
We'll keep going. We won't stop. It doesn't matter.
I said it's time for movie news. That's what I meant. Movie news. This is where we take our crack reporters and journalists that we have collected from various papers and websites that are folding every day because of hedge fund money. And so they're all available, and we send them out to like nanobots to scour the trade papers and the websites that are alive and being run by right wingers, mostly, and other sources to find the most hottest, freshest movie news they can find. Todd, do you have any hot, fresh movie news?
I do. I have great hot, fresh movie news in the form of movies that present movies. You guys know how much I love movies that present movies.
It's the best way for movies to be made and presented.
Yeah. If a movie's not presenting a movie, I don't take it seriously. So Train to Busan presents Peninsula, which is the new zombie movie set in the world of Train to Busan. It's set 4 years after Train to Busan. And it's very different. It's not a claustrophobic movie. It's going to be more of a Mad Max type zombie movie. And I can't wait.
Wait, I thought there was a Train to Busan 2 already coming out.
This is Train to Busan 2, I believe. I mean, maybe I'm getting this wrong, but I looked it up, and Train to Busan presents Peninsula is the next train. Because there was a Train to Busan prequel, which was animated a couple years ago.
But now not canon. Not canon.
No, I think it was canon. I think it no. was. It wasn't canon?
If it's drawn, it can't be canon.
Okay, fine. But this one, I don't know. It sounds great. I'll watch a Mad Max Train to Busan movie. That's all I'm saying.
I'll watch anything Train to Busan would like to present.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Skeleton.
Oh, I got my hot and ready movie news, just like the pizzas. We had these, you know, our celebrity deaths, and we had a couple, you know, we lost Ian Holm and Joel Schumacher, everybody knows, but most people don't seem to realize that we also lost Alan Metter, director of Back to School.
Oh,
he died
man.
At 77.
I don't mean to laugh. That's,
sad.
That happened.
Yeah. So that was the third one. Yeah. So
that was
yeah. He didn't get
three?
As much play in the news as Schumacher
no.
at home.
I love Back to the Future. What else did he do? Do you know?
No,
Back
to
School.
I mean, that's what I meant. Back to School. What? I've been smoking weed.
We
all
said
day.
That. We said that so angrily, like such a day.
Sorry, that was a slip of the tongue. What did he do besides the wonderful, great Back to School?
Did he direct Ladybugs?
He directed, I don't know, I don't think he did Ladybugs, but he did direct
meet
Girls Just
Wally
Wanna
Sparks?
Have Fun.
Oh, Girls Just Wanna Have Fun. Oh, okay.
What, which but one is meet? That?
That's the Rosanna Arquette 80s picture show.
Right.
Okay.
I remember that. It's a good one.
And a lot of people don't remember. It was, you know, Girls Just Want to Have Fun presents Back to School.
That's right.
Was how those movies were released.
I get confused between that and Earth Girls Are Easy, which I enjoy.
Oh, that's a good one.
So my movie news. So Disneyland, Splash Mountain at Disneyland and Walt Disney World will actually be completely reimagined with a new story inspired by The Princess and the Frog. As far as I know, the only sort of princess canon movie with a African-American lead. Which is great. I mean, great. Splash Mountain is a nice ride, I guess. They're obviously it's the much maligned Song of the South was where Splash
right.
Mountain.
Yeah, it's got all that kind of background in it, so they probably yeah. do need to change it up.
So they'll probably put it in the big underground holding facility where all the rapey puppets from It's a Small World or Pirates of the Caribbean get put.
The Disney's West World. Yeah.
Disney's West, where they battle it out. Where
a lot of people don't realize, but there were actually a lot of rapey puppets from It's a Small World. But they were literally puppets that jumped out of their area onto the boat and tried to rape people. Right
like,
on the boat.
Like ghoulies.
Like
ghoulies.
Like
yeah.
little ghoulies.
Yeah.
They came out of toilets.
It was a different time.
And they attacked people. Horrible.
It was a different time. Different time.
Well, guys, that was movie news. I feel like there's actually some movie news being made. I don't know if any of it's good, but...
what? Yeah. Train to Busan is presenting something. That's good.
I know. We're having... I mean, there was no news from Virtual Can, but I'm sure it was lovely.
I'm sure it was
fun
nice.
Time was had by all. Yeah. All right, that means...
Burn, Hollywood, burn. I smell a riot going on. First the guilty, now they're gone. Yeah, I'll check out a movie. But
oh, yeah, that
one,
means
movie.
It is time, friends, to talk about our theme. So every month we have a theme discussion centered around the world of the movies. We are going to have... I thought, you know, since we've been locked up for 4 months now, we might want to talk and haven't been able to go to the movie theater. We might want to talk about what our relationship to movies has been during the pandemic. What have we been watching? What are our habits? How have they changed? What do we find ourselves drawn to? What What do we miss? All those lovely things. So guys, what movies have you been finding yourselves drawn to while locked at home, and why? Is there any rhyme or reason, or is it the same old watching?
Well, I think I've been going back to, you know, some of my personal staples more often than I normally would, because I've already been through all of the Star Trek movies again.
All of them?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except for the Abrams. I haven't watched the Abrams ones, but I'll probably end up doing that too.
Uh-huh.
I don't watch them all once a year, but you know, with every couple of years, I get through, you know, all of the original cast and then the next gen movies, which is what, like 10 movies,
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah, I crank through those pretty quick, and as things drag on, I probably, you know, you get that late night urge to just kind of sit back and stare in wonder at how slow Star Trek the Motion Picture is again.
Is that the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if
it's delightfully unconcerned with pacing.
But also, if you get the remastered version on high def disc, it looks pretty awesome, and they enhanced the effects.
No, they did. I have the DVDs of the remaster, and one of the things they did do that is really remarkable, they did a lot of restoration of that film and CG enhancement, but they did a really nice job actually matching the style and even the film grain the old, like, late 70s. So the enhancements, you can't really, unless you really knew what the movie looked like before, you can't tell what's CG and what's not. It's a really, really, really well done. And it's also, it's a Robert Wise movie, so it's one of the last movies that had a fucking overture in the beginning of the movie. So it has this grand overture score that before the movie even starts, which is awesome. It's not a barn burner.
Well, what about you, Todd?
Well, I mean, I'm like Skelton in that I've dipped into a lot of comfort food. I just literally walked away from Escape from New York, a screening with the fam. My son's nice. Behest, which I still love.
Sepulveda Dam.
I'm also sort of dipping into stuff haven't seen in a million years or forgotten about or dismissed. Like the other night I watched Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
Wow.
How's that?
I was entertained by it. It's a million movies. It's very episodic. It's like a million short movies jammed together with the same two characters.
And it's Jeff Bridges, right?
And Clint Eastwood, yeah. And it jumps from like lighthearted criminal comedy thing to like super dark drama. It's like you've never seen a more uneven movie than Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, but it's really kind of... It's glued together by its cast, really. And Jeff Bridges it's one of those movies where Jeff Bridges should not have been as good as he was, but he's incredibly good, including in the very dark ending where it's really sad, but the way he plays the physical things that are happening to him is actually amazing. Like he plays stroking out better than anybody I've ever seen. Like it's horrible to watch a man you know is not having a stroke pretend to have a stroke because it looks like he's having a stroke, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, I hated, because I know and love him, I hated watching him pretend to be a starman. It was so sad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I kept reminding myself, he's not a real starman. He's not actually a starman.
I love starman.
Do you feel, either of you feel like you're watching less or more movies now?
I think I'm watching a little bit more TV and, you know, binging, you know, a little bit more TV because I've been catching up on stuff that I missed, you know, first time around. Like, I just finished Hannibal, because that just came onto Netflix. So, but as I was starting to watch that, I texted you guys that I realized, oh, wait a minute, I never saw the Hannibal prequel movie, Hannibal Rising. So then I went and watched Hannibal Rising, and wow, that's not good. So I went back to the TV show, which is very good. So I did, you know, I did prompt myself to go watch something I hadn't seen before,
right.
Even though it was Hannibal Rising.
What about you, Todd? Less or more, do you think?
Movies, I'm definitely watching more, in to the point where I was ignoring television almost entirely, and my family is now set apart Tuesday night just for television. We're only watching television on that night. But we tend to watch we're watching a couple movies a day, easy.
Oh wow. Now, do you know, obviously this is a quote unquote good time for a pandemic, because there's the streaming services are multiplying rapidly.
I'm watching so much Quibi right now, guys.
I mean, wait until Peacock comes out. Oh boy. Game changer. But I guess I wonder, like, I know for me it's changed my habits a little bit, because certain services like HBO Max has the TMC collection. So there's a lot of really good old movies, or Canopy, which is the service done by the library system, or affiliated with the library system. Yeah. Has tons of great old movies, or just obscure movies that I don't know about. And then obviously I do the rounds from HBO and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Netflix. I'm constantly discovering things that I just wasn't aware of, you know, because iTunes isn't very sort of, their library isn't very discoverable, I don't think. They tend to have a lot available, but, you know, it's just not, you're not like doing deep dives, whereas some of these other services have that. Do you find yourselves, have your habits changed due to the streaming services, or are you still just relying on DVDs and stuff?
One thing I've been doing lately that is... I've been using kind of a cheap streaming service, one of those free ones.
Mm.
I've been looking at watching a lot of Pluto TV,
mm-hmm.
because they have a setup that is brilliant. It's exactly what I was thinking about trying to figure out how to do years ago when Netflix first came out and they started dumping everything and for binging and that kind of thing, and everything the way, you know, scheduled TV went away as a result of that. But Pluto TV has a feature that is just a basic, like that pretends to be a live TV scheduled programming grid that has TV shows, movies, whatever free junk they're able to get that they throw up. And, you know, it's scheduled time. So, you know, if you click on one and you're in the middle of the movie, it just picks up in the middle of the movie. You know, some like a Hellraiser sequel or something, you know, that's on their list of like, you know, cheap movies that they could get. So I find that, like, I use that a lot at night, like late when I can't sleep and I don't want to think about choosing something.
Right.
And I want to watch a TV show or a movie. I just throw on the Pluto TV and that grid of like, just what's quote on right now, and go, yeah, okay, you know, Weekend at Bernie's 2. Here we go.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's like streaming music channels.
Yeah.
They're just programming it like a radio station, but it's just drawn from
But they set it up literally like a TV guide grid. You know, it's like it looks, so it's familiar if you're old.
Yeah. Do you get the
Pluto after TV? Watching,
After
watching Weekend at Bernie's Part 2, Skelton, do you feel like cancel culture should get up in that?
I'm sorry, what, the fireworks started going off in my neighborhood and I lost you.
I was just asking, after Weekend at Bernie's Part 2, do you feel like cancel culture should get up in that movie at all?
Oh,
I mean, is it worth it, really?
No. Yeah,
because
no,
I hope not, because then it'll probably collapse Pluto TV and I won't be able to watch any of it anymore. Their business model will implode.
What about you, Todd? Do you find yourselves discovering new things, or are you only going for favorites?
Oh, no. I'm watching... I haven't seen the new Will Ferrell movie yet, but I see most of the...
I watched that last night.
How was it?
Oh, the Eurovision
funny.
Thing?
It's funny.
Really? I turned it off after 10 minutes.
It's not great.
Does it get funnier after Act 1?
I just like... I think she is incredibly good, and yeah, I mean, there's some funny bits. It's not great.
Maybe I'll get back to it. It's just like the first 15 minutes or so, 15, 20, just there was like, there weren't that many jokes. So.
Yeah, I get it.
Well,
so sorry,
yeah,
Todd.
Will Ferrell's sort of like that. Sometimes you have to get into him just doing some weird character and let go that there'll be any solid jokes. I don't know. He's definitely
doing that. I mean, I was liking his goofiness, but yeah. So I'll get back to it. I mean, I got time.
What were you saying, Todd?
Oh, just as far as, I mean, that, like, I'm catching all the streaming premieres, like feature films that come out on Amazon Prime or whatever. I'm generally catching them. Like, I saw The Five Bloods the other week, and I've in all the action movies that have come out, and even the lesser. Like, I watched I guess you'd call it an indie film or a B film or whatever. It was called Body at Brighton Rock or something like that. And the only reason I watched it was because I was just trying to find something to watch. It's like the new version of channel surfing. And the poster had a lady in a park ranger outfit fighting a giant bear. And I was like, I want to watch that. And so I watched the whole thing. It takes a long time to get to the lady fighting a bear.
Yeah, that seems like false advertising. How was Body on Brighton?
You know, I didn't shut it off. I watched the whole thing. So that says a lot about it, I would say. I would say the acting is generally actually pretty good for something like this. The screenplay, it's basically a bottle episode of any given TV series stretched out too far, and I don't know that anybody could carry a movie like that, but I watched the whole thing to get to the bear, and the bear was a real bear, so that went a long way for me.
You're a cheap bait.
It wasn't a cartoon. I was like, oh, finally the bear. Oh, it's a real bear. Yay. Okay. All right. Nice. So I guess thumbs up from me on Body at Brighton
Rock. On Lady Fight Bear.
Lady Fight Bear.
What?
Okay.
Okay. So generally we're finding we're watching as much or more movies, right? I certainly am watching a lot.
So.
I mean, the rise of streaming probably has something to do with that. The availability, the just sheer, you know, like last night I was going to watch an old Katharine Hepburn movie. And then I was like, who am I kidding? I'm watching the Will Ferrell Netflix movie. Like the sheer volume makes it hard sometimes to be discerning, but I've watched a few quote unquote good movies and really enjoyed them. But yeah, there's so much just garbage at our fingertips. It's kind of frightening. And we went to the drive-in once. That was fun. Drive-ins are back.
What'd you see at the drive-in?
We saw a Vince Vaughn, Liam Hemsworth movie called Arkansas.
Oh.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
My question is did you go to a drive-in or one of these pop-up drive-ins?
Drive-in.
Which, like Vineland or?
We went to the Mission Tiki Vineland, and we met quote unquote friends, and we parked next to each other.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
It was great, we ate. We got brought food and booze, and so we just talked through our open windows, you know, 6 feet apart, for 45 minutes as the sun went down, and then watched the movie, and got high and had fun. It was great.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. We should do it. We could just all three go bark at a line.
Let's do a, can we do somehow do a pig's commentary from inside cars?
Yeah, I don't see why not. So
a quarantine commentary.
I mean, we could, yeah. We could obviously,
I've tried to make a word and I failed.
No, that's okay. No more quarantine puns should be allowed. They're all used up. I guess, you know, we could talk a lot about what the movie industry is suffering and what, in terms of theater chains closing and release schedules, you know, constantly getting push, and you know, there's going to be obviously like a giant gap in release schedules where nothing is being released and dates are getting crowded, and you know, we could talk all about that, but I guess I'm more interested in what do you think the pandemic's lasting effect will be on your movie going habits personally, if any. Like, forgetting the, it's kind of a boring question of will you feel when will you feel comfortable, blah 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 blah. But like, do you think it's going to eventually just go back to normal for you personally?
You mean Todd, going you, to the I theaters?
Mean, yeah, I mean Todd, you basically go to socially distanced movies anyway. You don't buy popcorn, and you go in times when there's like 10% or 5% capacity. Garbage
that's
movies
kind of,
during
the
weekday.
That's what I like to do too most of the time. Yeah, I like to go on the, sure. the early in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think there'll be a lasting effect or none?
For me, like, well, if I wind up going back to the movies, I would say no. I'm still going to go to the movies in the same way for the same reasons at the same times that I always did. I was never a peak time movie guy. I mean, I would do that on occasion, but it's not my first choice. So yeah, right. If I go back to the movies, I'm definitely going back to a matinee in the middle of the week, like a blue hair matinee, as we've called them in the past. I that's what I'm gonna do. Yeah, for sure. At a theater that serves booze that I can drink at 11 a.m. while I watch fucking Fast and the Furious 10. Which Doug Benson says should be called Fast 10, Your Seatbelts.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's my fave.
Skelton, same for you?
Yeah, I think mostly just because it's, you know, most of the 75, 80% of the movies that I see in the theater are, you know, daytime attendance, you know, so there's not a lot, generally not a lot of people. I like to go, I honestly like to go in the morning just before lunch, and so I can get lunch right after the movie. And you know, because I'm an 80-year-old man apparently. So
during the slow periods of the movie you can think about lunch.
Yeah, exactly. I think what kind of sandwich I'm gonna get. Yeah. But I definitely, you know, and I want to get back to that. You know, I enjoy doing that. And so it's really just this matter of this limbo of, you know, are we going to figure out how to deal with this before we, you know, are all turned into zombies or whatever? You know, will we be able to get back to the movies anytime in the next 12 months is the big question.
Yeah. I remember I once combined those things. I got a sandwich from my favorite deli in Burbank and went and saw The Matrix. And it was one of my favorite experiences of movie going. Ate a sandwich in The Matrix by myself. Loved
That's
it.
Nice.
Yeah. Ooh. Left work early. Sorry, there's a lot of weird noise. In my house.
Yeah, no, I think like a Bay City's Godmother. And a nice long movie so you can really digest it.
Oh, Bay Cities. Yeah. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
So I asked you, we've been trying to do this one podcast for a while. Did I tell you to ask you to name some of your favorite movies you've watched during the pandemic?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you said come up with a list of five, and I don't...
Okay,
My favorites, I don't know if you want to go round robin or whatever, but my favorites are all over the map, and there's different reasons why I like them. And they don't necessarily have anything to do with the quality of the movie.
I did a few of the ones that I liked and a few that were terrible.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do a quick round robin. Limit your reason, your commentary, but give me, you can, but feel free. Todd, what's your first?
All right, my first of the five is actually, I couldn't decide between two, so it's just a tie of these two kind of salacious entertainment documentaries. One is called The Rape of Two Corys, My Truth, which is a documentary that Corey Feldman put together about the horrible things that happened to him and Corey Haim coming up in Hollywood. And while it's the weirdest experience because it feels manipulative on its surface, you know. It feels staged and weird and manipulative the whole time. But at the same time, I totally believe everything that Corey Feldman said. It's weird.
Wow.
I don't think you can make that shit up. I totally buy it. And similarly, there's another documentary which you can watch on, I think, Amazon Prime, which is called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street, which is Mark Patton's documentary. Well, I don't know if he made it, but it sure seems like he did. But Mark Patton, the star of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and the horrible fallout of being associated as the guy who made Freddy Krueger gay, sort of deal.
Right.
And it's, both these documentaries are fascinating and also uncomfortable and horrifying and deeply depressing. And the entire time you're like, are they fucking with me right now? But in the end, whether they are or not, it doesn't matter. You buy all of their reasons. In fact, with Scream Queen, I felt like Mark Patton let a lot of people off the hook that he didn't have to, which was a weird way that the documentary ended. But I recommend watching them if you can get your hands on My Two Corys. Is The Rape of Two Corys is a hard one to get your hands on, but
right on.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe
I
it's
don't,
on. Maybe it's scheduled on Pluto.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll
I'll
see.
Check. I'll check the Pluto schedule.
Thank you, Skelton.
Skelton, give me one.
I missed it in the theaters just before the pandemic, so Birds of Prey was on my list because the comic book shows with the Margot Robbie reprising her Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad and that kind of big old adventure, which is actually, I enjoyed it. It was a big kind of colorful, fun comic book movie, which is, you know, not as dour as a lot of them are, and everybody in it seemed to be having a good time. The fight scenes were really well done, and very, very exciting. And Ewan McGregor is the bad guy, right? And he's looked like he had a great time just chewing all the scenery. So it was a good popcorn movie.
Good, good. I saw a movie called The Vast of the Night, which is a low budget.
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah.
Low budget alien movie. Invasion movie. A small town. But it takes place mostly at a high school and a radio station, and it just has a lot of great camera work, like a lot of really cool tracking shots done clearly, you know, on like a rickshaw or a bicycle or a wagon or something. Really cool. Vast of the Night.
Where's that at? Where'd you?
Amazon.
Amazon. Okay, cool. That sounds cool. I'm writing these things down as we go, because I'm not going to listen to this later.
No, no one is. Todd, give me next one.
My next one is, and this is going to sound when you told us to pick these movies, you said something you haven't seen before that you gravitated to during the pandemic. So somebody, my father-in-law passed away right before all this happened. And a friend of mine who knows I like terrible movies sent me, a condolence package of bad movies. And one of them was Captain Ron, which I've never seen, never saw it before. And I was like, okay, it's got Kurt Russell and Martin Short, so I'll look at it. And I freely admit it's not a good movie. It's not very funny. My son walked out halfway through to play video games because he'd had it. But I watched the whole thing, and I found... And the writing's terrible. I mean, it's not the fault of the stars. The writing of this screenplay is bad. But Kurt Russell and Martin Short together actually work, and Kurt Russell's always so much fun. And I was... I was just in that nostalgic state of, oh, I love these guys. How come I never saw this stupid movie the whole time? And it was a nice experience.
I think I saw it in the theater. Skelton.
Next on my list is the latest iteration of The Invisible Man.
Oh.
Lee Annals.
Yeah, I've been meaning to see
directed,
it.
Directed and Scientology lady, Elizabeth Moss.
Is she Scientology?
In the lead.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked it.
I did too.
I thought it was really well done. I thought it was incredibly suspenseful. I thought the cinematography is really the combo of the direction of cinematography works really, really well. They pull off these types of shots every now and then where you aren't sure if you're looking through the POV of the Invisible Man or not. And it makes it extra creepy and tense, and really just that stuff is really done, and kind of just the setup of using the Invisible Man as kind of a gaslighting metaphor and literal, but literal real thing is a really nice take on the whole concept. But yeah, I thought it was a really, really good, fun, scary thriller.
Nice. My next one, Holy Motors. I had not seen that. Have you guys seen that movie?
No.
A weird French movie won Cannes a few years ago. It's this guy in a limo. He gets picked up from his house by this like woman is his driver. He's like, how many assignments do we have tonight? She's like, 7 or today. And he gets and he has this whole makeup station in his limo, and he changes into like a woman, a weird like monster, just a dad or whatever, and he goes and walks into these various scenarios in real life. One of which is a model. Oh shit, who plays her? It's been a while since I saw it now. Not Rosario Dawson. And he kidnaps her, and then and he bites someone's finger off, and it's just this weird. Another one is just like he has to go assassinate himself. And then another one, like, it's just this weird French movie. And then one's like a drama between these two old people. And it's just so, one's a mocap stage, and he's doing this whole motion capture dance with this other woman who's mocap. Then he gets back in the limo and is like, where's next? It's the weirdest movie, but it's so fucking cool. Holy Motors. I definitely recommend it.
All right.
Yeah,
I've not seen that one. I'm writing that one down too.
Yeah, what's next, Todd?
My next one is a movie that we've talked about before on this podcast, but I had to put it in the list, which is The Hunt, which I finally got to see after wanting to see it in August and then wanting to see it in March, and then they put it on VOD.
I forgot I saw that too.
I thought it was totally fun B movie shit. If you like hyper violent B movies, you will not be disappointed by The Hunt. It's totally
cool. Hand wringing over the controversy was nonsense. It's just a big goofy B movie.
Yeah, if you get offended by this movie regardless of your politics, you're an asshole.
Yeah, it's just weaponizing Hollywood's own fear of offending anyone. That was what the controversy was. Skelton.
Okay, so this one is one that I really wanted to see and then stopped watching halfway through. It is The Jesus Rolls.
Oh, that doesn't look good to me.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, I love Totoro, but it's such a meandering movie that I couldn't figure out what the story was supposed to be, and because it was just the characters just wandering around from situation. Felt like a really haphazard early 90s indie is exactly what it felt like, and so I was unfortunate because I'm always delighted by Totoro, even in Transformers movies. Not in Jesus Rolls.
That's too bad.
I was gonna do I was gonna do my own feature film, indie feature film spinoff of You're the Worst called Dr. Vernon Barbara Rolls a Joint, but I'm scrapping that.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
You're never gonna get a greenlit now after Jesus Rolls.
My next one, My next one is I saw Dial M for Murder and I really liked it.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool acting, neat little little twisty things, and great score, and I thought it was really cool. I'd never seen it, and I finally did. Todd, what's next for you?
You can file this under total piece of shit that, of course, Todd loves. I'd never seen it before. Someone turned me on to it. It's on Amazon, I think. It's called A Breed Apart. It stars Rutger Hauer as a sort of nature vigilante who gets revenge for hunted eagles.
Oh, wow.
And it also stars Powers Booth as a mountaineer who's been hired to steal eagle eggs, and Kathleen Turner, who is hopelessly in love with Rutger Hauer despite his weirdness. I can't... if you like bad movies, especially bad movies from the 80s, I can't recommend this enough. I mean, it's really special how stupid it is. And Rutger Hauer's full Rutger Hauer. You know, when they let him chew scenery, so he's the lead in this movie. He's chewing scenery, and Powers Booth and Kathleen Turner just seem like they're dealing with it. That's the best. It's all they can do is deal with this thing that they're in.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great.
It sounds delightful.
Yeah, you should watch it.
Skeleton.
Oh, this has been mentioned before in our previous podcast or last couple, but the Wrong Missy, the Netflix Lauren Lapkus starring Adam Sandler produced with David Spade. It's pretty by the numbers script in terms of, you know, the rom com setup and easily predictable ending, but Lauren Lapkus is so funny, relentlessly funny through the whole thing.
Yeah.
That I really had a good time. I really enjoyed it, that's all you need. If you just need some you know, 90 minutes of laughs, it really works.
There you go.
It's funny. We were watching that because my son and wife were very hesitant about watching it. I'm like, come on, you guys. It's from the Adam Sandler world. We'll like this. And we were dying laughing so hard that my mother-in-law came in from the other room. It's like, what the hell is going on? So that says a lot about that movie.
My next one. Oh, I finally saw The Host. Bong Joon-ho, a monster movie that I'd never seen. Fucking tremendous. Loved it.
Yeah. Love The Host.
It's great.
Yeah. That he can do no wrong by me. Todd, what's your last one?
My last one is, I don't know how to file this. File this under movies that the critics hated and nobody watched, and then Todd watched it anyway and found it delightful. I watched Downhill with Will Ferrell and Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Which now, have you seen Force Majeure?
I never saw that except for the clip of the avalanche. And I only became aware of it because Downhill, like that it was from a movie that Downhill, I was like, oh, that makes sense. So I have not. So maybe it would have changed things, but I found it very enjoyable, very funny. And I thought it was really entertaining. And the avalanche sequence is fucking great.
It was directed by those guys, Nat Faxon and
Jim Rash.
Jim Rash, yeah.
Who I appeared with on the television series Clueless as perverted security guards.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Really name dropping there.
Nat Faxon's a very nice fella.
Nat is very nice, yes.
Yeah. Skeleton.
Well, I know exactly how to file the last movie on my list, and you file it, it stinks. And it's The Call of the Wild with Harrison Ford and a cartoon dog.
You did not watch that.
Yes.
I watched it with him.
Oh, yeah. Man. And?
I don't understand why they didn't just make it an entirely animated movie. It makes no sense to make almost everybody live action except the damn lead dog.
The lead, yeah. And,
well, all the dogs are CG, but so it's really weird. It's so weird and off-putting. It's so off-putting, I'm setting off fireworks in my neighborhood. I'm so mad about this.
How much do you want to see that entire movie again, though, without the CG,
so just
man?
The guy in the green suit with Harrison Ford? That's the movie I want to see.
I would watch the shit out of that.
So crazy. My last one. Oh, this is a movie I had not finished. For some reason, I forgot about it and then came back to it. But I loved it. Green Room.
Violent. I love Green Room.
Yeah.
Patrick Stewart is terrifying in that.
Patrick Stewart, punk, the late, great Anton Yelchin. Alia Shawkat. Great violent B-movie. I love it.
Did you like Blue Ruin, too? Blue Ruin?
I did not see Blue Ruin. That's his previous movie, right?
Yeah, watch it.
My honorable mention is Biggest Little Farm, a documentary I just watched, a G-rated documentary. I think it's G-rated, or about some people who buy a farm in Moore Park, a couple, and just sort of the travails they do trying to farm the old methods, and it's really fascinating. It's worth watching. Huh. I think it's on Hulu. All right, that was our pandemic movie check-in, you guys.
That was great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel better.
Yeah, I feel better too. I want to go watch a movie now.
Yeah, me too. Let's get through the rest of this quick.
You guys, that means it's time for Movie Jail. This is the time where we put a movie professional on trial for crimes against cinema, where he's remanded to our vast penitentiary system, our complex. There's many different wings and offshoots and curly Q's and codas and
curly Q's.
We can tie. You know, there's all sorts of punishments. Honorable Judge. I guess I'm the judge.
Oye, I'm Bailiff Anderson. Please rise for the Honorable Judge Falk.
Hey, everybody, I'm Judge Falk. Skelton, would you like to talk your shit?
Prosecute
please the court, Your Honor.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna run out for a beer. You guys have fun.
All right. Your Honor?
My bailiff's always doing that.
he cut out of here quick.
He sure did.
Your Honor, the case I bring before the court today is complex. It is also very stupid and frustrating. Many theater chains like Regal and Alamo Drafthouse have announced plans to reopen for business in the midst of a global pandemic. Many announced their intentions alongside rules requiring masks for all employees and guests as part of safety precautions. AMC Theaters initially balked at requiring masks for guests, citing that they did not want to be drawn into a political controversy, as if the coronavirus gives a shit about politics. Now, even though AMC reversed its initial policy after criticism and will now require masks for everyone, this intensely stupid reason for not requiring masks in the first place is what made me want to indict movie theaters in general, but after giving it some thought, I concluded that the problem is more widespread than the movie theaters trying to reopen. The federal government has all but abandoned its responsibility to the states concerning the pandemic. No aid is being provided, and none appears to be forthcoming. States are finding that they have no choice but to open businesses, despite the tremendous danger it poses to public health. However, nobody is required to go to these businesses and expose themselves, and more importantly, others, to unnecessary risk. Therefore, at the risk of bringing a case that falls outside the court's jurisdiction, Your Honor, I would like any dummy who refuses to wear a mask in public, whether they're going to the movies or not, to be put on trial. Wearing a mask is literally the simplest and least invasive thing you can do during this crisis that has a tangible effect on halting the spread of coronavirus. The mask you wear doesn't protect you from others, it protects them from you. Your mask reduces the amount of droplets you exhale, which is why it's important that everyone wear masks during a pandemic. Masks were socially common elsewhere in the world before this pandemic. They're a basic courtesy that says, I'm a responsible person and give a shit about my fellow neighbors and citizens. Refusing to wear a mask on the grounds that it infringes on your freedom merely illustrates that you're the kind of person who has a toddler's understanding of the concept of freedom. There is no personal freedom without personal responsibility. Anything else is just asshole chaos and unworthy of respect. I'm looking in your direction, maskless old man who fought his way into a Walmart. Your Honor, while I think movie theater reopenings are a massively terrible idea, and at this point probably are getting reversed with the uptick, the current uptick, because I wrote this like 4 days ago, and the real responsibility lies with those who refuse to wear masks during a goddamn global pandemic. They're simply selfish assholes with no real understanding of the costs of freedom. I submit that our prison system established Quarantine Island for such individuals, and that we use our dumb boat that we got to dump them there until such a time as a vaccine is made widely available, and only after everyone else who did wear masks gets the vaccine first. Also, no movies on Quarantine Island. Their only entertainment will be books on personal responsibility and contact tracing. I rest my case.
Wow. I do not know if we have the jurisdiction to put everyone on trial. I certainly like the sentiment. I saw someone, I can't remember who it was, I'd like to attribute it, but said that given Americans' general attitude, it was a big mistake to say that masks help guard keep other people safe. We should have just said it keeps you safe.
Yeah,
because that's certainly not a high priority for a lot of the Karens out there. I don't know how to rule here. I think.
The federal government at this point is lawless. Why can't we be lawless?
Okay, let's deputize everyone. For as long as this lasts, you can arrest anyone not wearing a mask.
Cool.
I love this.
I foresee no problems with this ruling.
Hey man, you can't put the genie back in the bottle, dude. I'm gonna be out of control.
Next episode, we'll abolish the Electoral College.
I will be back.
Hey, wait, what's that?
I don't know.
What but was that? Did you guys hear something?
Trying to figure out our
maybe
new
it's my fireworks going off again.
Oh.
What is that? There it is. What is that?
Oh, guys, that's Nick Cage.
You guys.
It's time for the Nick Cage Memorial Bazaar line reading. This is where Todd, in this case, one of the film pigs, brings up a line from a movie, a specific line reading or speech or monologue or scene that is so nuanced and weird that it can stand along the canon of the best Nick Cage weird line readings. Todd, what do you got for us?
This is a long clip. It's about 2 minutes. It is a comedic line reading, a monologue, a diarrhea of the mouth, if you will, that really launched Michael Keaton's career. It's hilarious, and I could have kept recording for another 2 minutes, but I felt like that was too long. So I cut it off at a certain point. Please enjoy Michael Keaton in Night Shift.
Jumping Jack Flash. Hi. How you doing? I'm Bill Blaze Jasky. You call me Billy Blaze. You must be Chuck, right? Nice shoes. Hey, this is all right. Guess this is where I'm going to be working. I'm your new partner. Swish! Ah, they're going crazy in the arena. They can't believe it. It's unbelievable. This is great. What's our job? We'd like drive around, pick up stiffs or what? Is that what we're supposed to do? Hey, Chuck, who's this? Wife?
Fiance.
Oh. Nice frame. Yeah, okay. We can make stuff. We can read. Coffee. This is great. I like it. You wonder why I carry a tape recorder? It's to tape things. See? I'm an idea man, Chuck. All right? I get ideas all day long. I can't control them. It's like they come charging in. I can't even fight them if I wanted to, you know? So I say them in here, and that way I never forget them. See what I'm saying? Okay, here's an example. Watch out. Stand back. This is Bill. Idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper. See? Eat it. It's gone. Eat it. It's out of there. No garbage. Got everything in here. Business ideas, inventions, musicals. I wrote a couple musicals in here.
Would you like to see the rest of the office?
Yeah. Hey, you want Snickers?
No, thank you.
It's not frozen because my refrigerator broke.
I understand.
That's such a great line.
And he didn't even get to, you know, feeding mayonnaise to tuna fish to cut out the middleman.
That was Ron Howard.
Yeah, Ron Howard directed that shit. Yeah. And Henry Winkler's so good. Shelley Long's in that. She's so good. All those people should have stayed movie stars and not been on TV at all.
Yeah, I haven't seen Night Shift in years.
It's so.
Oh my god, I know.
It's definitely the best take on an exploitative 80s movie that takes a male pornographic fantasy and puts it into a narrative, I would say.
Is it better than Risky Business?
Yeah, it is better than Risky Business. It's
I haven't seen it in a while.
Probably because it's less about teenage fantasy. Which I just watched Risky Business. That's a great movie, too. Absolutely. Deals with male pornographic fantasy in a very sensitive, realistic way. I would say Night Shift is a little bit better on that level.
Hmm. Right on. All right, you guys. That was a great... People forget how amazing Michael Keaton is.
They do.
I love Michael Keaton.
I heard he's reprising his role as Batman.
Yeah, it's very weird. All right, guys, that means it's time for a little game. We're going to play a little trivia game, man. Guys. Huh?
A game?
Yeah, a game, Skelton. This is a trivia game. This is about virus and plague movies, you guys, because we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Oh, God.
This is a 16-point game. 5 points possible for each. So let me tell you how it's going to go. I'm going to name five. So these are all virus plague movies.
Okay.
I'm going to name five clues to the identity of what the movie is.
Okay.
In ascending order of helpfulness and specificity.
Who determined the level of helpfulness for each clue?
Me, baby.
Oh, a team of experts, Todd.
A team of experts, Todd.
Okay.
Asshole.
So I may have a problem with some of this.
So if you can get it on the first one, you get 5 points. On the second one, you get four. Third one, three. Four, you know, blah, blah,
I get
blah.
You. Right, right. I get you.
Okay. Let me see. All right. We're just going to start. So I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 100. Who gets closest? Todd.
58.
13.
So, it was 47. Todd goes first. Okay.
Glad that wasn't Price is Right rules.
No. California. But if you guess and you're wrong, that's over.
Oh, okay. So once I get it wrong,
you get
it.
You get we get one guess to get it right.
Okay, I'm gonna give me another hint.
Movie theater.
Outbreak.
Outbreak is correct. Very nice.
Nice.
4 points.
Sweet.
Skelton.
Yes.
Casino.
Casino. Give me a clue.
Pig.
Casino pig. Casino pig. Clue, another one.
John Hawks.
Oh, nuts. Casino Pig John Hawks. I know what this is, but I can't think of the title. Clue.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah, it's right on the tip of my tongue, and I cannot think of it. Give me the last one.
Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, Contagion.
Contagion is right. Damn it. All right. Sorry, guys. I got to let my cat in. She's scratching at the door.
Hold on. Crab cake?
Crab cake.
Hey, crab cake.
You let that cat in.
Let that cat in there. Dangle some string.
Get that cat in here.
This show does not matter. Dangle some string for that little bugger.
Point a laser or something.
Was that worth it, cat? No, it was not. Todd, are you ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, found footage.
Quarantine.
No.
Fuck. All right.
The next clues were, just for shits and giggles, if anyone can get this, Chesapeake Bay.
The Bay.
Barry, what?
The Bay.
The Bay, yeah. Shit. Barry Levinson, Crab Festival.
I thought I was so cool. I thought I got it. And then you went with the most obscure shit.
Yeah. But, you know, Keather was in it. Okay.
I know. That's why I watched it.
Skelton.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Clue.
Basement.
Pennsylvania basement. Pennsylvania basement. Clue.
Farmhouse.
Pennsylvania basement farmhouse. Oh, man. I'm drawing an absolute blank. Give me another clue.
Black and white.
What? Night of the Living Dead?
Yep.
Oh, God.
I would have got that as soon as he said Pennsylvania.
So that would be 2 points. Okay.
I mean, it could have been Dawn of the Dead or any of the other Romero movies, I guess.
But yeah. My brain was like, I was actually like realistic.
But black and white.
Pandemic movies. Right? But zombies are in play now.
There aren't that many of them, so you have to go to horror.
Oh, yeah. But the ones, they're caused by a virus. Okay, Todd.
Yeah.
Water.
Water. Water. Give me another clue.
Homicidal locals.
Okay. The Crazies.
No.
Fuck.
Well, no? That was what I was thinking.
That's fucking right. I mean, you just gave me the two clues that are... Okay, so what...
Flesh-eating. Rider Strong.
Oh, Cabin Fever.
Eli Roth.
Yeah,
Cabin Fever.
With the ripoff. God damn it.
Skelton.
Yeah.
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Give me a clue.
Meteorite.
Is it Night of the Comet?
No. The next, do you know, Todd? The next one was Parasite, then Aliens, then Elizabeth Banks.
Slither.
Oh, Slither.
Okay. Still 4-3.
The thing is,
okay, here's my umbrage already with this game. Is that, like, my answer was not wrong. It's just not what you wrote as the answer. And I feel like if Skelton had said Night of the Creeps within the first two of that last one, he would have been right. Because Slither was just a ripoff of Night of the Creeps.
Yeah, I was looking for a different movie, though.
Okay, yeah, Todd. I get it.
New Mexico.
Wait, that's the first clue? Is just Mexico?
New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Oh, there's a New Mexico.
New Mexico Homer. Virus movie. Jesus, I don't know. I'm going to need another clue.
Old Wino and a 6-month-old baby.
Old, Hobo with a Shotgun?
No.
No.
Next one was Satellite. Next was 1971. Next was Michael Crichton.
Oh, it's an Andromeda Strain.
The Andromeda Strain.
Oh, I wouldn't have got that anyway. My guess was Killer.
Skeleton.
Yeah.
A Knight with a K.
A Knight with a K. Knight with a K. Give me a clue.
The Crusades.
Oh, okay. So this is going to be... The 13th Warrior.
No. Chess. What? Chess.
The 13th Warrior plays chess.
No. Max von Sydow.
Oh, damn it. That's the...
The Seven Seal. Okay. Todd.
What the hell? Max von Sydow. Strange Brew? Max von Sydow?
Yes. Yeah, it was Todd. Strange Brew. Yeah.
London.
Has fallen.
I'm going to go with 28 Days Later.
No. I mean, according to your rules, you're not wrong, but no. Long take. Long takes.
Oh, Children of Men?
Yeah, Children of Men. There you go.
Well, I got that wrong. Oh, well.
Okay, Skeleton.
Yeah. 2035. Give me a clue.
Poison Air.
That could be a lot of things. Give me another clue.
Time travel.
Is it time travel? And then, but there's a virus, and it's 2035. So, is it timeline?
No, Todd. Do you know?
No, I actually don't.
Christopher Plummer? Terry Gilliam.
Oh my, it's Time Bandits?
12 Monkeys.
Or 12 Monkeys. Oh, damn it.
Monkeys!
Okay. All right. This is not going
well. At least
that
did have a virus, unlike Slither.
Todd.
Yeah.
Modified measles virus.
You're a modified measles virus.
I agree. Modified measles virus. I don't know. Give me another clue.
Dog killing.
Modified measles virus. Dog killing. What has dog killing in a... I don't know. Give me another...
Dark Seekers? Yep.
So we've got modified measles, killing dogs, and the Seekers of Darkness.
Dark Seekers. Yeah.
I'm going to go with I Am Legend.
I Am Legend is correct for 3 points. Emma Thompson, Will Smith. We're the next.
All right. I did okay on that.
Yeah. Skeleton.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Iowa Farm Town.
Iowa Farm Town.
Yeah.
Iowa Farm Town.
This game sucks. The vagueness of the initial clues that makes you feel like you might know it is so shitty.
Yeah, you shouldn't guess then after one.
All right, give me a clue.
No, there's no way to really get 5 points in this game.
Plane crash.
Iowa Hartown in a plane crash.
Mm.
That's give me one. Give me another clue.
Remake.
Iowa Farm. Remake. Iowa Farm.
Plane Crash Remake.
Plane Crash Remake. Iowa Farm Plane Crash Remake. Another clue.
Rhoda Mitchell.
Rhoda Mitchell.
Rhoda Mitchell.
Rhoda Mitchell.
And the last one, Timothy Oliphant.
I know what it is now.
Is that the Crazies?
Yeah.
That's the Crazies, right?
You got one.
Good God.
Todd.
Yeah.
Suburbs. Suburbs.
Suburbs?
Yeah.
The Burbs.
Wait. Okay. Jesus. Like, I have one that I want to guess right away, but...
Just wait one.
All right. Give me the next clue.
Mass Hysteria.
Suburbs, Mass Hysteria. Mass Hysteria. Oh. But I don't know if this is a contagion. You got to give me another clue.
Parents.
Fuck you. This is horrible. These are... Like, I think I know it, but I can't know for sure. Like, I cannot know for sure. And I feel like the movie... Clue? Yeah, give me the next fucking clue.
Selma Blair.
Oh. Selma Blair. Dawn of the Dead?
Mom and Dad.
Oh, Mom and Dad. Shit, I should have known that.
Oh, right. That there is a virus in that one. Unlike Slither.
I was deeply already lost, so I was never going to get that.
This game is going to just end really badly. Skeleton.
Yeah.
Iowa Farm Town again.
Oh, come on.
What the fuck?
Are you kidding me?
Is
that seriously?
This is just torturing your friends. That's what this is.
Okay, the next one, UFO.
I got Iowa Farm Town twice in a row?
And it's a virus for the...
Oh, fuck you.
Last time
you
was a plane crash. Now it's a UFO.
This is bullshit.
Finally.
All right, what were those first two clues? So
Iowa
Farm Town.
UFO.
And UFO.
Yeah.
All right, another clue.
Spinal Column.
Puppet Masters?
Yes, sir.
Oh, nice, Skelton.
Richard Belzer, Donald Sutherland. You got
Donald Sutherland. Yeah, that's a
good
Robert
one.
Heinlein.
Tell me it's
novel.
A terrible game. You're tied, motherfuckers.
Oh, it's still a terrible. Wow. I mean, that doesn't change anything.
Oh, you mean just because you're tied doesn't mean it's not a bad game?
It's not about losing or winning. It's about torture.
It elicited emotion. And it's coming down to an exciting ending.
Yeah. So does making people fight to the death. But that's still a terrible thing to do.
Why don't you produce reality TV? Why are you scripting shit?
Todd.
What?
Come to the confessional, Todd.
Okay. What's the... What?
All right. Are you ready?
I think. What happens?
In enclosed environment.
Wait, is this the same?
Yeah, this is the same bullshit.
All right, enclosed environment.
Yes.
Okay, what's the next clue?
Grievers.
Enclosed environment, grievers.
Mm-hmm. With a capital G.
Is that I Am Legend?
No, you already guessed that one.
Oh.
It's you didn't get it.
Yeah.
The next one was The Flare, Giant Concrete Wall, Maze.
Giant Concrete Wall, Maze, Flare. I don't even know.
Maze Runner.
Oh, well, fuck. Of course I wouldn't know that. That's one of your tiebreakers? Is it fucking Maze Runner? That's the answer? Fuck this game.
You have a child. Skeleton, let's see if you
swear to God, if you say Iowa Farm Town.
UN investigator.
UN investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's actually a reasonable clue.
Oh, thanks.
Well, maybe he gave you a movie that you actually would know, other than fucking Maze Runner.
Okay, UN investigator. That sounds vaguely familiar, but give me a clue.
A severed arm.
UN investigator and a severed arm? Severed arm, UN investigator. All right, clue.
Walled city.
UN investigator, severed arm, and walled city?
Yeah.
What the ding-dang dong is this?
I know what it is.
Do you know what it is? Ah, damn it. I'm all right, clue.
Mark Forrester.
I got, yeah, is, do I get, is there a clue left?
Yes.
Just give it to me.
Brad Pitt.
Severed, wait. Brad Pitt, Mark Forrester, severed arm. What the hell is that? I can't think of it. What is it?
You gave me Maze Runner. I want to state that for the record.
Todd, what? He doesn't know it.
Yes, he does. He's just.
No, I can't. I can't.
All right.
What is it?
World War Z.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Guys, it's a tie. That fantastic game ends in a tie. How exciting is that? Doesn't that make up for how frustrating it was?
No. Unless you're sending us prizes. Are you sending us stuff in the mail?
Even Monopoly, even Scrabble, it went through a lot of iterations until it got to be the great game that it is. This was a beta test, you guys.
It was a prototype.
You're a beta test.
Thanks for playing, guys.
You're welcome, I guess.
Well, after that amazing game, it's time for the bottom five.
Stop editorializing.
This is the bottom five list are the worst movies I've seen during the pandemic. All right, the Meg.
You didn't like the Meg?
Yeah,
it's a giant shark.
I did not like the Meg. It's a terrible movie.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. I see.
It's an important. That's an important qualifier.
We need to let people know that if they want to watch a giant shark movie, they could do worse.
You could do worse. Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, jeez. I don't like that movie either. I just don't like
it. I did not like it.
Yeah, it's but not the I didn't worst. Like it either.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not Fast and the Furious. It's not any of the Fast and the Furious movies.
No. The King of Staten Island.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I'm not doing
Don't.
That.
I guess I shouldn't.
The aforementioned Arkansas, and which I saw on the drive-in, so it's a good time. And for some reason, we ended up buying because we wanted to watch it on the first weekend, and now I own it. It's like one of three movies I own on my iTunes. Ben Affleck's booze basketball movie, The Way Back.
Oh my God!
I didn't even know that was a thing.
I remember. Oh, no, yeah. I know. I knew about that, and I was like, "Who the fuck is this for?" And I know. You're the guy who downloaded it.
Listen, it wasn't for me. It was the beginning of the pandemic. We didn't know what was going on. moment of positivity, guys. Though movie going is obviously very important to the three of us, at least I did get to go to the drive-in theaters. They are open, and even though the movie was a meandering faux Tarantino piece of garbage. I had a blast because there was booze and drugs and friends in the next car.
Nice.
And that's nice. That's the triumvirate. That's what you need to
that's
get.
That's all you need.
Booze, drugs, and friends.
All right, guys. Well, that we're the Film Pigs. That was our little podcast. We're sure glad you made time for us because we made time for you. So really, you owe us. My name is Stephen Falk. That's Stephen Skelton on the ones and twos. And that's Todd Anderson staring at me weirdly.
Hey, and, I couldn't hear you because of the music. I was just trying to listen to hear my cue.
Yeah, that was your cue. I want to thank me for coming up with that great game.
Oh my God.
That was so well thought out. And tested.
Iowa City. Where the
heck? Iowa
twice.
First
twice.
Clue. All it, like everyone should have been Iowa City.
Yeah, every first clue should have just been Iowa City.
That's it, you guys, I think, right?
Yeah, we're right at the end here.
Thank you, Adam Blau, for the music.
Adam Blau.
Bye, you guys.
Thank you, Adam Blau.